European and US shares rallied on Friday, lifting some of the gloom around equities that dragged down Australia's share market into bear territory last week. As a result, Australian shares are expected to jump nearly 2% on opening this morning, based on futures trading. But analysts say it's still too early to predict that shares have now hit bottom. Our business editor Cheryl Bagwell joins us. Cheryl, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
So what triggered the change of sentiment among investors on Friday night, Cheryl?
Well, a couple of things. Firstly, the oil price rebounded by an amazing 12% on Friday, and this was on reports that OPEC might be finally considering a production cut to reduce the oil glut that's, of course, been depressing prices this year. US retail sales also rose in January, suggesting the US economy isn't decelerating after all. But perhaps the main booster was some positive comments about statements about the health of the big global investment banks. Now, you'll recall that it was bank stocks that led the market down on fears that they were dangerously exposed to bad debts in the energy sector as commodity prices continue to fall. Well, the banks want everyone to know that they're doing fine, everything's under control. In fact, to prove the point, Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of the US's biggest investment bank, JP Morgan Chase, spent $26 million US dollars of his own money to buy shares in his own bank. And now it sounds like a lot, but it's actually just his annual pay packet, friend. But it was taken as a sign of confidence that, you know, all is well, enough at least to convince investors in Europe and the US to jump back into bank shares.
Okay, so a measure of relief expected for our market this morning as a result, but will it last? That's the big question.
Well, that's right. Wish I had a crystal ball, but the feeling is it won't. I mean, the bearish sentiment, I mean, I think you can tell, is particularly towards the global banks. It's kind of running too deep at the moment for it to be all over. As one analyst, I think, told the Financial Times over the weekend, while it's good to see bank CEOs buying their own stock, people did the same thing back in 2008, just before their businesses went belly up. I mean, investors fear the banks are still not being upfront really about their liabilities. They wonder if, you know, there's some scary stuff lurking in the shadows of their balance sheets that could once again bring the whole system to the edge of an abyss again. And on top of that, investors are also losing faith in central banks to be able to fix things, to steady things. You remember the Bank of Japan's decision a fortnight ago to impose negative interest rates on bank deposits with the central bank. It was meant to encourage them to lend the money to business instead. Well, that just served to spook the markets further. You know, they feared that. Yeah, what are they doing? Well, it must be really bad, you know, and can central banks afford this, you know? So, I mean, I guess what we need is a kind of positive circuit breaker to lift this gloom, you know, in the markets. And no one really knows where that might come from at this point. In the meantime, Chinese share markets opened today. They'd been closed for the week-long Lunar New Year holiday. And the fear is that there'll be a catch-up sell-off by Chinese traders today. Now, that could put pressure on Australian stocks later in the day, you know, despite the stronger opening expected this morning.
Well, speaking of central banks, the governor of Australia's central bank, Glenn Stevens, he seemed unperturbed by the recent share market volatility when he appeared before the Parliamentary Economics Committee on Friday.
Yes, he did. He said there was no economic reason for markets to drop their bundle, as he put it on Friday. And he's right. I mean, the problems in the global economy are not new. The slowdown in China, the slow recovery in the US, and the rout in commodity prices have actually been around for quite a few years. It's just that now investors seem to be paying attention to them. But Glenn Stevens did signal the RBA was ready to cut Australia's official interest rate again should the market ructions spill over into the real economy, though the expectation amongst most banks is that the rates, the official interest rate at least, will remain on hold probably at 2% for the rest of the year. It also partly depends what happens with the labour market, whether this jobs boom that we've been seeing continues, and we get the latest reading on the health of the labour market, how it did in January on Thursday. But Glenn Stevens said he sees little reason for the major banks to lift their mortgage rates out of cycle. Remember, they did that last year. He said there was no sign as yet that their costs of funding were rising, that there was another credit crunch looming. I mean, on the contrary, bank profits are still rising, as we saw with the Commonwealth Bank's solid profit result last week. And he also confirmed what Ian Narev told this program last week, that Australian banks have minimal exposure to the weakening resources sector. So Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Yeah.
Well, everyone's talking tax. Does the Reserve Bank have anything, or the governor, had anything to say much about reform to negative gearing? Because that we now know is in the sights of both political parties.
Yeah, well, not on Friday when Labor released its policy, but last year, the RBA and the Murray Inquiry into the financial system all came out with the same conclusion that there needed to be a review of negative gearing. I mean, aside from the cost to the tax system, their concerns as regulators that negative gearing distorts the housing market by encouraging people to invest in property when they might otherwise put their money elsewhere, for example, if there wasn't a tax break. But like the Murray Inquiry, the RBA says that changes can't be made in isolation. They've got to be part of a complete kind of fuller tax reform package which looks at how each tax interacts with the other. Like, for example, negative gearing might be the focus of the debate, but it's arguably the 50% discount on capital gains tax that's the real enticement for investors to gear up heavily and buy property because
Labor's
the promise.
Gone for that too.
Yes, that's right. They have, but not the government at this stage, because, you know, it's the promise of the massive discount on capital gains when you sell the property that's kind of the big holy grail. I mean, remember, to negative gear and get a tax deduction, you need to make a loss on the property. I mean, rent has to be less than expenses. So the only way, in theory, you make a real return is when you sell it. Yet if, you know, the CGT discount was extended to savings, we might just put our money in the bank instead of property, you know, but instead our savings are taxed at our marginal rate. Now, as you said, Labor wants to carve back the CGT concession from 50 to 25% from 2017. Now, over time, that would actually claw back quite a bit of lost revenue. The government, though, is still silent on whether it's going to touch that concession. Instead, as you know, it's looking at a plan that would maybe cap the number of properties you can gear or limiting the annual
tax deduction.
There's so
many elements on the one hand or on the other hand, and that now the Property Council and the government are all going about the mum and dad's investors in the, you know, using the negative gearing. But are they, in fact, is it the capital gains tax that would be more, have more impact for them as well?
Well, the economists say it would have better, you have a bigger impact in terms of tax revenue and on the economy. You know, that's what they, I mean, why should property get that CGT discount? You know, I mean, why not extend it to shares? Well, that's what a lot of people say.
I know we're going to be having a lot more of these conversations between now and the election. Just finally, Cheryl, to the markets, what can we expect this morning?
Futures trading, as I said, is pointing to a gain of 87 points this morning. That's a jump of 1.9%, nearly 2%. And it follows this rally on Friday night where US and European shares rose 2 and 3% respectively. But, you know, despite that, over the week, US and European shares were still lower, as were ours. We were down 4.2%. Japanese shares lost 11%, and their GDP figures are out this week, so that'll be looked at. It's a public holiday in the US, so Wall Street will be closed, and the focus will, as I said, be on China. Just finally, the Aussie dollar has actually gained on this new risk appetite about at the moment, and it's buying 71.1 US cents, Fran.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Cheryl Bagwell, our business editor.